Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Good to have you with us today for another Read the Word. Welcome, everyone. Good to have you with us. Let's go, Internet. Get caught up here. We're glad to have you with us. Read the Word has become one of the most favorite parts of ministry that I have ever been a part of. And God wants you to enjoy the work of the ministry. And I'll tell you, this has been an enjoyable one. And Sister Leanne and I was talking earlier today about Read the Word. When you study, when you read the Bible out loud, now, I get this, out loud, from the beginning, Genesis, and you go, like, we're doing it chronologically. I think chronologically is actually better. Mm-hmm. And you get from Genesis through Malachi, the Old Testament done, there's not going to be any confusion in you of how God wants things done on this earth, even today. What did we hear today? The Old Testament, the law was holy. It just couldn't make you holy. So the Old Testament is holy. You just can't make you holy. You got to have the New Testament. You got to have Jesus' blood and righteousness, which you can't get it anyway except a free gift. So nobody can boast. And when you see from Genesis through, you're just like, God has a specific order that he is not going to violate for anybody. It's like this whole thing that's on tithing right now. You cannot read the Old Testament out loud through like this and then come up with any kind of good reason that tithing is not a part of God and worship. You just can't do it. There's a lot of people that are, but they have erroneous doctrine. I'm not going to say they're deceiving on purpose, although some of them may be, but they just got an erroneous doctrine. They've not read the Word. Read the Word. Read it out loud so your ears hear it. Because many times when we're just reading to ourselves, your mind is wandering, and I got to go get the ketchup, and I better remember I got to have sugar, you know, and I didn't get the yard mode. And so that can have a tendency to cover things up. But when you read it out loud like this and you truly submit yourself to this word, there isn't any confusion. God's very specific how he wants his world to be run. And he's very specific that he put it into our hands as a stewardship to care for it. And you and I need to take that stewardship very seriously. There will be a day in heaven you will stand before Jesus if you're born again. And you'll give an account of how you function on this earth according to his will for your life. So you got to get an eternal perspective right now. That what I do every minute of every day right now matters for me on the other side. And I don't know, there's some people who say it's okay if I just sit around and do nothing, and I don't see that in England. And man, don't take your eternal destiny and reward that lightly. And I know there's a bunch of people who say, well, I don't care whether I have a reward, I just want to get to heaven. You know what's interesting about that statement? Jesus cares whether you have a reward. He said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his own work. Have I gone to preach in love? Am I preaching good?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Am I supposed to be preaching good right now?
Yes.
Hi, Sunday. Welcome. And hi to every one of you. All right, no more preaching. It's time to pray. And get into the word. Tonight, we've got Brother Nehemiah. And he's one of the shortest men in the Bible, Nehemiah. And he's going back to rebuild the walls of the city. And so that's going to be good. The only problem with Nehemiah is we're going to have it done in, what, 3 days? And you're going to want to read it over again because it's one of these, it's one of the conquer scriptures, one of the conquer books in the Bible. This is a conquer book. Nehemiah came back here and said, oh, yeah, watch. You're my kind of man. Here we go. We'll share the screen with you, and let's pray our opening prayer. Here we go. Pray this with me. Father, thank you for Jesus' blood that gives me access to come boldly to your throne of grace and help. We pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that all of our lives will be changed forever by the word of God. Glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, just want you to remember that prayer is right in the notes of the program. You should be able to see that and pray that with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Nehi. I always said it, thought it said Nehi, but it's Nehemiah. Anyways, I like my joke better.
I do too.
There is somebody shorter than Nehemiah. Peter. Peter was so small, he slept on his watch. And there was also Bildad the Shuhite. That's pretty short, Shuhite. There's no righteousness in those jokes. They're just good jokes. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. They said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. Your justice bone kicks into gear right then. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and your mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, you are unfaithful. I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, this is the word that Nehemiah is reminding God of. Remember this. You said, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now, these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Remember, the word redemption means to buy back. It's a financial term. Verse 11, Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day, I pray. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, the cupbearer was the guy that sipped every cup of anything that the king drank. Because if it was poison, that guy died first, not the king. Glory be to God. Who handed you this cup? You know how it is. Chapter 2. Came to pass in the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. All right, so we were reading in the book of Esther and the book of Ezra, the different times of the King Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes was... thought I could just grab it, but I missed it. King Darius was the king in Syria, and that's the one who sent Ezra back. Now, Artaxerxes is the king who is sending Nehemiah back. When wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. King said to me, why is your face sad, since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? In the city, place of my father's tombs lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. The king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. King said to me, and the queen also sitting beside him. That's interesting. They put that in that. Mm-hmm. In the writing. How long will your journey be? When will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You want the favor of God upon you.
Yeah.
So that the king will do good to you. 9. I went to the governor in the region and beyond the river, gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. These were reigning dignitaries in that region. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me, except the one in which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate, to the serpent wall, well, and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate. Did not know where I had gone nor what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, Larry Curly and Moe despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. And the word that God gave Cece Sheets was, you have no right, historic right, or claim to this promised land. Say it with me. Take your hands off our promised land. The United States of America. Because there's a whole lot of Horonites and what was the other one? Ammonites and Arabs that are wanting to stop us from being in our promised land. And they don't get to do that. That's why we call our morning prayer time rebuilding the walls of righteousness. From this very set of references. Chapter 3, here we go. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the tower of the 100 and consecrated then as far as the tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasananah built the fish gate. They laid its beam and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Why did they call it the fish gate?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Next to them, Meramah, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. Interesting that they made sure that was in there. The Holy Spirit made sure. 6. Moreover, Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodeiah, repaired the old gate. they laid its beams and hung its doors and its bolts and bars. Next to them, Melatiah, the Gibeonite, Jadan, the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Also next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs, and they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, the son of Hur, leader of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Verse 10. Next to them, Jedidiah, the son of Harumma, made repairs in front of his house, and next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabniah, made repairs. Melchijah, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Peath Moab, repaired another section as well as the Tower of the Ovens. That's where they made pizza. The Tower of the Ovens. And they had it stacked up so they could deliver them fast. You could have instant delivery within the city of DoorDash. Hot and ready. 12. Next to them, Shalom, the son of Helohesh, leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. Now, here comes the daughters. Hanan, the inhabitants of Zanoah, repaired the valley gate. They built it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the refuse gate. That's a long chunk of wall right there. 1,000 cubits, that's 300 yards. 1,000 cubits, no. That's 1,000 yards. Cubit is a yard, right? I believe. 14. Melchijah, the son of Rechab, leader of the district of Beth Hekram, repaired the refuse gate. He built it, hung its doors and its bolts and its bars. Shallon, the son of Hosea, leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, covered it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired the wall of the pool of Shelah by the king's garden as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. I mean, you can just about rebuild the city by what you're hearing these guys say. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, leader of half the district of Beth-Zur, made repair as far as the place in front of the tombs of David to the man-made pool and as far as the house of the mighty. After him, the Levites, under Rehum, the son of Bani, made repairs. Next to him, Hashabiah, leader of half the districts of Keilah, made repairs for their district. After him, their brethren, under Bavai, the son of Henadad, leader of the other half of the district of Keilah, made repairs. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the leader of Mizpah, repaired another section in front of the ascent to the armory at the buttress. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, carefully repaired the other section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him, the priest made the men of the plain. The priest, the men of the plain, made repairs. After him, Benjamin and Hashab made repairs opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs by his house. After him, Benui, the son of Henadad, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress, even as far as the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, made repairs opposite the buttress and on the tower which projects from the king's upper house, that was by the court of the prison. After him, Pedaiah, the son of Perash, made repairs. Moreover, the Nethinim, who dwelt in Ophel, made repairs as far as the place in front of the water gate toward the east and on the projecting tower. After them, the Tekoites repaired another section next to the great projecting tower and as far as the wall of Ophel, Beyond the horse gate, the priest made repairs each in front of his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zelaph, repaired another section. After him, Mishalom, the son of Berechiah, made repairs in front of his dwelling. After him, Melchijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the Nethan, and of the merchants in front of the Mifekad gate, and as far as the upper room at the corner, and between the upper room at the corner, as far as the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. You boys were out working.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4. How far are we going? Through 5. The wall defended against the enemies. Let's take a drink. But so it happened when Sanballat, the crybaby, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Why? Because they were doing something that he wouldn't do, didn't want them to do, and was going to just try to destroy them from doing it. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. And he said, "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Look at verse 4. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity." Evidently, Nehemiah started praying. "Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Verse 7. So it happened when Crybaby, Thumbsucker, and Knucklehead heard. Didn't know if you saw all those names in there, but that's what's going on. Probably talking like my pastor and my uncle. They're both Marines, but, you know, that's how they talk. And we learned that. Well, that's what they were a bunch of crybabies. And the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. See, the enemy's always going to get angry when you begin to have success.
Mm-hmm.
And don't come off the wall. All of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. He didn't go down there to kill them out there in their property. He just said, "Don't come up to ours. We'll deal with it." Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. Our adversaries said they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work, and the crybabies went home crying to their mama again. Isn't that what we just read in Esther that Naaman did? He went home crying to his... He put his thing up over his head and went home hiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, that's the difference. If you see the enemy as defeating you, you won't see him as running. And he's really running. He has to.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones with the restraining order, and we're the ones with the authority and the dominion and the might and the power and the name that's above every name. He don't even have anything. He's already been stripped. Stop preaching and just read. There we go. 16, so it was from time to time that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. It's the United States Navy Seabees. That's what a Seabee does. They drive a bulldozer, but there's an M16 strapped right there on it. So I can not only grade you, but I can shoot you. There's some tough boys and probably girls too now. Who knows? 18. I'm in 418. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. And we're separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. These guys work night and day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing.
It's funny that they told that.
I love it. But we did wash them, just so everybody knows. We did wash our clothes. Chapter 5. Nehemiah deals with the oppression. I love Nehemiah. He's a powerful leader of God. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, let us not get grain. Let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses. We may buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children as their children, and indeed we're forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. He's a man of justice. Some of you are people of justice, and you've been told that that's wrong. It's not wrong. Revenge is wrong. But asking for God to be just and bring vengeance is not. Pastor, that don't even make sense. Read the Bible. Quit worrying about Moody, Wesley, Finney, or anybody else. Read this book. Verse 6. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brethren. So I called a great assembly together against them. Said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now, indeed, will you even sell your brethren? Or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? 11, restore now to them even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, their houses, and also 100th of the money the grain, the new wine, the oil that they have, that you have charged them. They said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox, six choice sheep, fowl were prepared for me, once every day, every 10 days, an abundance of all kind of wine. In spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provision because the bondage was heavy on this people. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. And God added his blessing to the reading of his word. I was expecting a few more words there, but it's okay. You think about Nehemiah. He was a powerful leader that went back and said, no, we're rebuilding this, and you are not going to get in our way. And how much more? Now, see, this is happening about 450 years before Jesus came. How much more do you and I have authority over this day in Jesus' blood and righteousness, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the word of God in our hand, a gathering of believers that we can stand and be in agreement with, and the promise that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of us and he's going to do it. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and give us the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit language to pray a perfect prayer that no demon can hear. We can't lose. Unless we give up. We'll never give up. I heard a great man say one day, it's not how strong you can be that matters, but be strong. It's what you do when nothing seems to be making sense in your determination to get this mission accomplished. It's what really matters. Because when you've done, and it seemingly looks like it's the exact plan of God, can you still hold on? Because that's what's happening. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is to be reaped. And he who sows to the flesh of the flesh reaps corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit reaps life everlasting. God will not forget your work, your labor of love to give toward his holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, let's pray the prayer of salvation like we do every time we come here. I mean, we saw our numbers on YouTube the other night, 1,190 people throughout this last month, 28 days, that clicked on this program. You and I got to always be faithful to pray the prayer of salvation. And all of us that have been here for a while, pray it in faith every day. Don't just make it a little, there. Are we done yet, Pastor? No, pray it in faith so that they can feel the faith on the other side of us in Jesus' mighty name. If you pray this prayer with me in 2 minutes, you will be in perfect communion with God. Isn't that amazing to be able to say that?
It is.
Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting
life. You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your responsibility. Make this statement bolder. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your love.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
All of you.
With all of you.
Fill me with your Holy
Fill
Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer. Every
I pray day. This in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Isn't it amazing the experience you're experiencing on the inside of you right now? What is it, Pastor? Everything is being made new. You said, Jesus, I believe in you. To as many as believed him, to them he gave the power to become a child of God. You're a child of God. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Many as led by many of it. You say it, love. I'll just listen. Okay?
Many as have been led.
By the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus right now because you're that one prayer you prayed in faith. Pastor, I don't even know if it was in faith. It could have been in fear, but you meant it from the depths of your heart and God accepted it. He's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. And you just ask, you're filled with the Spirit. You might be like, well, I don't know how all this is working. I do. So stick with us. We do know how this works. And we want to help you know how it works too. So just stick with us. And you'll be all right. Listen, do this every day. I got a very strong encouragement on what I've been saying to you. Because it's right. You wake up in the morning. Start your day as soon as your eyes come open. Start your day. Father, I choose to walk with you. Hey, when you first start, they'll be like, I said it. I'm sure you're talking because you're God, but I'm not hearing you. What are you learning to do? You're learning to fine-tune your ears, not these hat hangers, the ears of your heart. It won't be long. He'll begin to speak to you. Just start your day out with his presence. I worship him. Stop at noon. And, you know, on your job, you got to go to work, and they don't pay you to come there and stand around and be a Christian. They pay you to go to work, so go to work. But when you stop for your noon meal, bow your head over that meal and say, thank you for your help today. Help me walk with you and bless my food in Jesus. Pray over your meal at night. Join us in the night, in the evening pilgrim. When you lay down in that bed at night, you can turn the light off or not. Depends how fast you fall asleep. You make this statement. Thank you, Father, for helping me walk with you. How did I do today? When you add that last question on there, you're going to immediately begin to hear his voice. Because he's going to tell you how you did. If you had a bad attitude, he'll show you the scene and say, get that fixed. Go fix it. If you had a good day, you'll feel joy and exuberance on the inside of you. And just begin to talk to the Father like he is your Father, because he is. You are an heir of God, joint heir to Jesus right now. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, just stick with me. Listen, we ain't never going to leave you. Never. And this is all on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, so you can go back and listen to it again. You can't beat this. It's a good thing. And even if those of you, if you missed the rapture and you're hearing me, man, get in there and study everything we taught so that you can be right with God. The Holy Spirit didn't leave, just all the Christians, and that's why the wickedness is happening on this earth in such a level for you right now while we're all in heaven. Do not miss the rapture at the center point of the tribulation. Get your heart right with God and tell everyone around you this is our last chance to make it into heaven. And give your heart to God and be determined to lead others there, which is what you should do right now. Don't have to miss the rapture. Please don't miss the rapture. Jesus, amen. What else we got to do? Is that it? Well, this is what we say to you every time we come here. Click like, subscribe, and ring the bell so that every time we go live, you are notified that we're live again with the Word of God. The YouTube playlist. On that playlist, you're going to see a little plus sign over on this side of your screen, left-hand side. Search my name, San Jose Cotto, and then playlist, read the Word, and then click that little plus button, and it'll add it right down in your library on your YouTube page that belongs to your name. That way, you've always got the videos that start in Genesis and run all the way through. This is day number, what, 269. There's not quite 269 videos, but it's close. And they're all there. You'd be able to go from Genesis to where they are right now. Jesus. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon. God bless you. God bless you. Wherever you're listening from around the world, please contact us. Send me an email. It's right there in the comments of the notes of the program. And let us know. Send us a picture. And we're going to put it on the partner wall right behind Sicily. And pray for you guys every single day. Jesus. See you soon. God bless you, YouTube.